Notice thou him, I'm nothing. I can't do nothing. I'm going to start reading, maybe over from 2 Timothy just a little bit. Had some things on her heart all week this week. We'll try our best, like I say, with the Lord's help, just to get out what he's laid on her heart this morning, and pray it'd be a help to us. That the Lord would take these scriptures and use them in our life. But over here in 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, if I didn't say that. I'm just going to read just two verses here in 2 Timothy, the 11th and the 12th verses there in the 3rd chapter. It says, persecutions, afflictions, which come unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I know that's a very familiar scripture right there in that, but what a great strength we can draw from that and what Paul was writing to Timothy. And I've said it many a time as he's writing unto this young man of God here to try to encourage him in what he was going to be facing and the things that he was coming upon. But as I got to thinking on this scripture here a little bit, the Lord actually brought me around to this scripture through the other scriptures I was studying on early and thinking about. I got to thinking this week, and it seems like I've pondered so much, and you'll just have to bear with me. I'll tell you what, the Lord's helping me, and I thank him for that. I really do. I have needed the Lord so much, seemed like here in the last while, and seemed like how much this week he's just helped this old boy. But anyway, you'll just bear with me. If I just have to cry and blubber through the message, I'll do what God lays on my heart. But along these thoughts that we've been thinking on this week there about even how that he wrote there and that, and I'll read it one more time. He says that the persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of all of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. And I thought this week my heart's been over. And it seemed like early in the week, the Lord started dealing with me over there in Daniel. And I got to thinking there, as you start reading in the first part of Daniel, how when they was taken captive over there in Babylon, and how the king over there in that day, he was looking out for all the young people, the wisest of them, and the more highly favored of it would be that he could bring in unto him, and he could start teaching them, Isaac, and the king could train them up the way he wanted them to be. And when you get to reading over there in that, you'll find there that there was four young men that stood out and was a little different than all them other young people over there in that day. They come to a place there, and I may go over and read some of them. I think most of us know the story there. How that when they come over there, he wanted them all set aside, and he told them, he said, I want them to start eating the king's meat and the things from the king's house. And he said, he told them over there, he wanted them to start feeding them these things, and that they was four young men that said they wasn't going to eat those things. Well, they said they was just going to stick with what they had ate all their life. They was going to stick with the pulse and the water. And you'll find over there where their keeper got a little worried. He was afraid that if he didn't feed them what the king said to feed them, that they wouldn't look as favorable in about 3 years, I think it was, that he was going to bring them in front of them. But Daniel told that man over there that day, he said, you let us just eat this pulse and water. He said, you give us about 10 days. And he said, you examine us and see just how we're looking next to everybody else. And them boys
they've stayed with what they know over there. And you just bear with me this morning. Everyone stayed with what they know come to agreement. And they didn't change. They didn't waver. I don't care how big the king was. I don't care how scary it was. But they stayed with what they had been taught from their youth up. They stayed with what they know had already been working in their life before they ever got brought into captivity. This was their first little obstacle, Savannah, since they had been brought into captivity. The best of I know and can find in the Word of God, the first thing Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced, April, was a decision in their life if they was going to eat what the king laid before them. I went to God, we've got some coming up in the house of God that's going to have to start making some decisions in their life on what they're going to do. I promise you this, but CD grinds there. The world's going to try its best to get you to eat what it says is good, what it says will make you favorable, but you stay with what you know. Simple right there. You just stay with what you know works and it'll work for you. And this ain't complicated. We've got so complicated out in the house of God, people can't figure out which ends up anymore. God set down a standard in His Word. God set down a way of salvation that don't make sense unto people. We're trying to change how people comes to God. We're trying to change how we worship. We're trying to change our doctrines. We're trying to change everything about what God's established, about what's been working for years. Why? Because somebody else is trying to feed it to us. These young men's meals didn't look as desirable as the king's meat and his wine. His pulse, seeds, beans, if you'll have it, peas, however you want to look at it. It didn't look as good as that meat that the king had laid out. Boy, his wine, hey, their water, no doubt, to everybody else didn't look near as good as the wine that the king had to offer. But these young men knew what had got them to the point in their life that where they was at that day and kept them strong. Just bear with me. I don't know how long it'll take me to get down to where this is going, but I'm going to go with it. These young men come through their life, Isaac. This is their first obstacle. Do I stay with what I know, or do I eat the things that they're offering me? That ain't just their young men. See, they ain't gonna let all of us. We're gonna stay with what we know, or we're gonna eat what the world's telling us is good. They go on down through their life, Isaac. Tried to live right, Carly. They tried to do right. I want you youngins to listen to me. I sit in that Sunday school Sunday after Sunday, and I told them, I said, I know I seem like I'm constantly telling you, Jay, how hard things is going to be and how rough things is going to be, Emma. And I know it sounds like I say that so much, but I told them youngins this morning, I said, I want you to understand what's really out there. I want you to understand the world's going to have you eating something that looks like it's going to taste better. Looks like it's going to be easier on them, man. Hey, it makes it look like it's so much better. But I promise you, you stay with what God's got you. You stay with what He's feeding you. These young men had a decision to make right there in the beginning of their days of captivity. What I want us to see is how it affected them for the remainder of their time in Babylon. I'm going to tell you something. All that live godly, listen, they're going to face persecution. Now they's a bunch today preaching a bunch of garbage out here in this world. That everything's going to be all right, Isaac, if you just go to church. Everything's going to be all right. Man, if you just put your money in the offering plate, everything will be okay as long as you treat people right and you do okay in this life. Well, I'm going to tell you what. According to the Word of God, they're liars. All that live godly are going to suffer persecution. It ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be a walk in the park as far as your flesh goes. That's what gets me excited about what I'm preaching this morning. It may seem hard in your old flesh, but God will deliver. I thought about these young men as they come home in their life. We find how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they face the decision again in their life, Shadrach, whether or not to bow when the king said to bow, or whether to just stand for what they know. How they went again, God has stood. We find a place in Daniel's life over there where he had a choice to make when they told him not to pray no more and not to call on any other gods. He had another decision in his life to make. He just opened the windows and kept praying. How would it be God, children? When the world tells you to shut up, Isaac, would it? When he tells you to bow, hey, I would to God. You stand firm for the Word of God. You keep a praying like God told you to pray. You stand where God established you. I'll get around something in this. Maybe rub a few of this little rough this morning. Then just have to rub it, is all I'm going to say. It's what God gave me. All that live godly shall suffer persecution. What suffering you done for the Lord? When's the last time you faced persecution? Friends, my life's rolling on pretty easy. I ain't had a rough time or nothing in a long time. I believe I'd get checking up. I really do. These young men stood for God, and every time they turned around, they'd want to throw them the lions or in a fire in a furnace. Every time they turned around, hey, there was somebody wanting their life. Every time they turned around, there was some sneaky old somebody behind their back trying to find where to trip them up. Don't you know? Hey, I guarantee you they was human beings. They were young men. Don't you think they didn't get discouraged in that day? Don't you think that didn't bother them? People gonna try to trip you young enough. There's people that's gonna try to make you fall. There's people that's gonna try to make you bow. There's people that's gonna try to make you bend. Their way. If you're trying to live the Lord, because all that live godly shall suffer persecution. These young men had a decision to make over there one day. You know what? There's more than four young boys over there. Just imagine how many of the multitudes of them youngins that come out over there. We only read about four that stood tall, don't we? And there's probably a lot of others over there, Trevor, people look and say,
That's a good young one right there. That's a good young one right there. Well, that's a good young one right there. You know what we do? We go around and we talk about what's a good boy right there. That's a good little girl. There's some good young ones right there. But you want me to tell you something? There's a lot of them good young ones over there that day, Sid. You know what they done? They took the king's meat. There's a lot of good youngins over there that day that when they started playing the harps, the dulcimers, the sackbuts, and all them things, when the king put out a decree that you're going to bow to my God, you want me to tell you what this lot of them good youngins done? They bowed. I'm up here to tell you this, don't you bow. I think them young men wasn't scared. You know what's the hardest thing to do, youngins? I know I've told you that y'all's age. You know what the hardest thing to do is stand out sometimes. You know what the hardest thing is to do, Jay? Hey, Jimmy, I'm not just pointing at these teenagers. You know what the hardest thing is to do for you and me? Daniel, you know what the hardest thing is to do? To stand out and be a little different. To go against what the world tells you is all right. To go against what the devil says is good enough. I'm going to tell you, we need to quit just being good old boys and good girls. And we need to start living and standing up for God Almighty in this world. You know what, Mark? We don't want to suffer. We don't want to suffer, Judy. I don't want to have to feel like somebody got mad at me down to church because I stood in the book. I don't want to.
That's our neighbor.
Them young men didn't want to have to stand in that day as far as in their flesh. But you know what? They knew that's all they could do. They knew that's what would work. Somebody raised them up right. Somebody taught them what to eat. And you know what? I taught this in Bible school a few years ago. I believe you trace it all the way back. They see a young man by the name of Jeremiah stand firm over there. And he kept preaching the gospel every time they throwed him down in the pit and every time they stuck him in the stocks. I believe them young men witnessed some men over there in Israel that wasn't going to bow and wasn't going to bend. And when they got brought into captivity over there in Babylon, hey, I believe they saw what worked in Jeremiah's life. I believe they saw what worked over there in that day. And when that's brought down into captivity, they said, we're going to stand firm. We're going to suffer a little bit. But it'll be all right. I want these youngins to understand. I want this church to understand. I don't care if you're 80 years old sitting here this morning. We're still young in Christ. We're not going to walk through this life and not have a problem, see? No. We've studied on Joseph in Sunday school. And we're at the place over there where he's done been Potiphar's wife, tried to get him to lay with her. And as a young man, he fled even out of his own coat apron. And he run from the very temptations that was right there before him. Now he's cast down into prison. And he's standing there before the butler and the baker. And he's talking to them. And I've been through every bit of that trying to tell these youngins that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Joseph is going through some things so he can be a benefit people around him. Joseph is suffering some things just so he can be a benefit down the road to the people he loves. If we're going through these trials, just stay steadfast. If you're going through your struggles, just stay steadfast. Don't bend, don't break, just stand. What the devil tells you the easiest thing to do, I'm sure he comes to them young men. Just lean to him. Just bow down. Just close your windows over there, Daniel, and pray. Just quietly. To where nobody will hear you, to where it won't get you in trouble. You just be quiet about it. Don't make no scene. Don't cause no waves. Hey, you want to know what this world wants the church to do today? They want us to get quiet. They want us to hide behind our doors. You can have your church down there inside the building, but don't you bring it on the job. Don't you open up your windows. Don't you pray in public. Don't you talk about Jesus around everybody else. What them young men wasn't being offensive. They was honoring the God of heaven. But look what they had to go through. Look what they had to suffer with. You know, by the time my little old brain young back there gets as big as I am, what's this world going to be, Bobby?
By then, and it may be before I die.
By then, Matt. They might be walking in here and dragging them out of the church. They might be scourging them out there in the middle of Newfound, out there, or maybe out in the middle of Lester Highway up on the town square. They might be scourging them. Hey, preacher, you ought not say stuff like that. You'll scare people to death. Hey, praise God Almighty, we ought to be scared. Hey, I read in the Bible where he said perilous times.
You listen to this. Right there where I was reading in the 3rd chapter, 2 Timothy. Now know all this, all know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
I ain't gonna paint you a picture that ain't real, ain't
it? I want you to know, hey, it ain't gonna get no better. Not here on this side.
I don't know what he'll face, but I know there's a God can face him, face it with him. I know there's a God that's already faced it. And if you ain't facing it with God, then you're bound for hell. And that's a whole lot worse than a little bit of suffering down here.
That's a whole lot worse than a few trials that we'll have to go through down here in this life.
Preacher, I ain't seen the good side of this yet. I go through things this in my life, and there's times I question why. You go through things, Erlene. You go through things, Jay. And sometimes we question why, man. Why? Because all that live godly just suffer persecution. Why does people we love turn their backs on us?
Why does the world hate the church so much?
He said, they hated me first and they'll hate you too. They're going to hate the church. They're going to try to change the church. The preacher, it ain't never going to get in our little old churches. Boy, we're going to stay firm. I'm going to tell you what, there's junk already creeped into some of our little churches.
False doctrines. These things already creeped into a lot of our little churches. These pride creeped into a lot of our little churches.
Hey, a lot of times we want to be big church bashers. I like it small. I like it. Hey, this might get a little tight this morning, but you need to hang on.
Hey, sometimes you may have to stand by yourself. And everybody else you're counting on may not be there to hang you on, Matt.
It don't take an amen pew down at the house of God to keep me preaching.
I'm not boasting. I don't need to every time I get done preaching have people, well, that's good, preacher. I appreciate that. Boy, that's never
really done good this morning, preacher. You
shelled the corn. I don't need to hear all of that.
I'm going to tell you where I get my assurance from, Bobby. Hey, it comes from on high when the Spirit of God comes by. It lets me know it's right.
There wasn't nobody with Daniel down there in the lion's den but the angel of God.
There wasn't nobody in the fire with them Hebrew children but the Son of God, and that's all we needed.
And they're already here. And Savannah, there's a lot of people with a form of godliness. Audrey, they're denying the power there. What Paul was preaching to Timothy, it's going to get rough. It's going to get rough, Timothy. Paul wasn't coming in and having a praise and worship service and raising the roof. He said it's going to get rough. It'll be rough, Judy.
I don't like this kind of preaching.
Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people today getting their ears filled with what they like. And you know what's going to happen? One day they'll lift their eyes in heaven. They really ain't going to like that.
Because some man wasn't man enough to stand behind a pulpit and preach the truth to them. Because a congregation of people had decided that they're going to go with what was easy versus standing what it taught.
Dead and gone, or God calls me to some other church out here. Praise God Almighty, I ought not be on it to holding this church together. Or to be a congregation of people that's willing to stand with some backbone on the Word of God. And if you get some false preacher behind the pulpit, stand up and call it out.
Amen. I don't want to cause no waves.
Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego in their self didn't want to cause no waves, but they knew it's worth standing for. There's a generation coming up behind us, buddy, that needs some backbone down at the house of God. We're going to suffer some persecution.
Listen, you know what persecution is? To be persecuted is to be pursued in a manner to injure, to vex, or afflict.
Be pursued in a manner to vex, to afflict you. You know what we don't like? We don't like to be vexed. We don't like to be afflicted. Sometimes we're willing to just sit around and let everything be nice and easy. Keep our seats. Don't say nothing. It may seem like the easiest thing to do, but
But I'm going to tell you what it ain't. If you're living godly, you're going to suffer persecution. In other words, you're going to be afflicted and you're going to be vexed for trying to do what's right. That's the biggest thing I hear a lot of times. April, when somebody goes through a hard time, why? I try to live right. I try to do good. Why is life so hard? Because you're trying to live godly. Why does everybody on your job want to make fun? Why does everybody on your job want to run you down? Because you're trying to live godly. I heard Brian preach last night. Oh, you are the light of the world. The city that sits on the hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine that others might see your good works and glorify God. Hang on. Another place over in John I wanted to read. He said, "Behold, the hour cometh." This is in the 16th chapter of John, 32nd verse. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." I want you to understand that we got that same promise. This is Christ talking. He's telling me, you're getting ready to be scattered, am I? I'm going to tell you, the devil's going through our land today, and he's trying his best. He's scattered. He's scattering churches. He's scattering people. Jesus said, "But he said, I'm alone, but I, he said, I'm not alone. The Father is with me." You know who's with you today? He said, "When I go away, Erling," he said, "I won't leave you comfortless, Dana." He said, "But the Comforter will come." When you suffer your persecution, call me. When they like it on Coma Freeman up the creek. When they like it on Matt over there at the Vision Center. When they make fun of Daniel out there on the job because there's things he ain't going to go along with. Because he tries to make it to church or Sunday school. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. What do you need so much church for? You ever heard anybody say that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it blows people's mind anymore out on the job when I tell them we have Sunday night service and Wednesday night service. Oh! You have to go to church that many times in a week? When the world looks and thinks that's just going crazy. You listen to this. When it gets to hurting and you get to suffering, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." See, you might say, "Preacher, you up there preaching trouble. You up there preaching perilous times. You're up there preaching danger. You're up there preaching how hard it's going to be. We're going to be persecuted. Preaching tribulation." You know what I'm preaching to him? The same thing Jesus preached. The same thing that he laid on Paul's heart to preach. It's going to get rough. What's the hope, preacher? He said, "In the world you have tribulation. In me you have peace. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." You want to know how Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you want to know how Philip, you want to know how John the Baptist, you want to know how Stephen, hey, you want to know how John, you want to know how all them men stood in the day they stood in? In him they had peace. And they could be of good cheer. I want this world to know. You know what I got to study this morning? I was reading, Shandy, over in Moses come to my heart, and I thought how the Bible says over in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it said that he chose and rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasure for a season in Pharaoh's house. Moses
had to suffer just a little bit, but you want to know through every bit of his journey, Tommy?
Yeah,
you want to know what he done? Lindsay, you know what he done? He led a people to Canaan. He was a leader in the midst of a people over there that was needing brought out of bondage. He was a leader in the midst of a people that needed to be brought into a place that God had promised them over there. And you know what he's willing to do, Judy? Suffer with the people of God for just a little while instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Things here, but just look at what we're going to get to be a part of. We've already got to be part of. Look at these youngins that you got to help lead to Canaan. Look at these youngins that's already got to see over into the promise. Because we have to do just a little bit of suffering. Daniel got delivered from the lion's den. And the king is standing up there. Oh, Daniel, please tell me that your God was able to deliver you. And he heard a cry from the midst of that. Oh, king, live forever. The angel of the Lord has come and shut the lion's mouth. God's servant was brought out of there. And there's a king. Got to witness what God could do. It's three Hebrew children that because they stood for God and wouldn't bow to an image made a king so mad he said, fire up 10 times hotter. Oh, and he didn't just say just any old guard go and grab them Hebrew children, Julian. He didn't just say just any old body. No, he's going to show himself. That old king that day, he said, I want my mightiest men to get a hold of them, and I want them to go down there and cast them into that fire.
He asked him a question over if I worded exactly right. He said, who is this God? Who is this God?
Let me see if I can find that. See if I find it. Give me just a minute. Well, I don't know why I can't find it, but that's all right. That's all right. It's somewhere there in that second chapter. Third chapter. In the 15th verse, the third chapter, he said, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?
I thought about that scripture all week this week. You know what the world's doing? It's saying, who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? Who is that God? That king was so furious and he's so mad, heated her up 10 times hotter. Or is it 7?
7 times hotter. 7 times hotter.
He grabbed his biggest men, Daniel. Boy, wasn't he trying to intimidate three little boys? Wasn't he going to show himself to three young boys? He up 7 times and grabbed his biggest men. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Them men got burned up as they was trying to cast them young boys in there. Right here's what I'm wanting us to say this morning. What happened when that king looked down there and he saw them boys in that fire? He You know what this world's going to do, Bobby, when it tries to cast you down? When that grandyoungins and all them others you've been praying for, neighbors and everybody else, when they try to cast you down, they try to say, who is that God that's going to deliver you?
When you're suffering and you're afflicted and you're vexed and you're being persecuted,
and they see you walking through that and not even the smell of smoke on you, not the first flame, the only thing. You know what he did? He cast them in there bound. And right in the midst of the fire, they was loose and walking around. If they hadn't stood, Tammy, if they hadn't been willing to stand up for their God on that day, that king would have never seen them walking with the Lord through their affliction. We're going to go through some things, Judas. We're going to suffer some things. And while we're going through them, Connie, it's the only way this world's going to see who we're walking through them with.
Where is it, Doc?
In the world, we're going to have tribulation. All that live godly shall suffer persecution.
Them young boys from the time they went captive into Babylon over there started having to stand. We're not going to eat this. We're not going to bow. I'm not going to quit praying to my God. I'm going to tell you what.
If I die right here today, I never want it said that this preacher preached to coexist, to tolerate, any of the things that the world's trying to teach today.
Because that ain't what my Bible teaches.
It preaches to stand. Go ahead and say this too. You don't find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out there trying to hurt nobody. They just stood. When Daniel came out of that lion's den, he didn't say, throw them sorry rascals in there that was the reason that I was down there. No, he didn't. But you know what? There's a judgment coming down on them, though. It didn't take Daniel to have to put it on them. It ain't our job. It's just our job to stand.
Yes.
They got noticed plenty enough without opening their mouth. I ain't saying we ought not say some things sometimes when the Lord lays it on our heart. But they stood out just because they wouldn't cry, wouldn't bow.
Daniel stood out because he did bow to his God. That God that revealed himself to Nebuchadnezzar that day. That was the God
that was going to deliver them out of his hands. You know what this world needs to see, Emma? Our God.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Back up to the 11th verse one more time, and I'm about done. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. There's not one in your face that He won't deliver you out of. When you're standing for God, that's what I want these youngins to see. That's what I want this church to see. That's what I want Dean Rice to see. We're going to suffer a few things. But in doing so, you know what that'll let your light do? Shine bright. In doing so, the world's going to see you walking through your fire and God being the one that's bringing you through it. Coming up out of your lion's den, and the angel of the Lord shutting the mouth of the lions. You know what it's going to take for our youngins, Matt, to see Jesus in the church? Keep standing for God. To keep walking and being firm. What's going to take to save the grandyoungins?
What's it'll take to save our youngest? You better see us standing firm in the day we live in, because we're living in some perilous times. We're living in a land today that's got a form of godliness. Young men, they're denying the power thereof. We've got a lot of assemblies. We've got a lot of things going on. We got a lot of people. That fellow the other day going to tell this here, I'm about done. He was talking to me. We was talking about fishing. He said, it's supposed to be pretty sunny. I talked to this man a few different times about the Lord. And he tells me about where he goes to church and tells me about how good everything is. He said, it's supposed to be a pretty day Sunday. And he forgot. A lot of the other stuff he told me before, and he said, son, I'm getting up, my gear's going in the truck Sunday morning, and he says, I'm headed to the river, and he says, I'm going to catch me some trout, and he says, and then he went to stutter, and he remembered, I guess, or thought about what he said. He says, I'm going to watch our church service on TV, and he said, our live stream thing, and he said, then I'm going to go. You know what people's doing? They're fitting God into their schedules.
Yeah.
You want me to tell you what that is? That's just a form of godliness. Sitting there the whole time worrying more about the creek than your message. And if we want to, Bobby, you know what we can do with them live streams? We can cut it off. We can come back to it. We can cut it off. We don't even have to listen to it if we don't want to.
Boy, I like church like this.
I can just get what I want out of it. I'm going to tell you what, that ain't suffering. That ain't getting up when you're a little bit tired on Sunday morning and getting ready and coming on to church. That ain't getting up when you're feeling just a little rough and going on.
Somebody looks at you cross-eyed from across the other side of the church and you get your little old feelings hurt.
That ain't even real persecution. Realize these people was beat. The Bible says some of them was sawn asunder. They was cut in half. They lost their hands. They was thrown in prison. We get sold up down at the house of God because somebody don't agree with us. Somebody said something that hurt our little feelings. God help us. Those souls that's hanging in the balance down at the house of God. And we need to be coming to the house of God and trying our best to see them saved.
And we call that affliction.
That ain't affliction.
Preacher, it hurt my feelings. I get mine hurt all the time.
Talking about making all that money this morning, talking about people looking for the paycheck out of everything. We'll go to work feeling a whole lot worse than what we will go to church. We do everything we can to make sure that check comes in on Friday, don't we?
We'll work around people we don't really like.
We'll go in every day and smile at them.
We won't even come to church when we get our feelings hurt. Where's that coming from, preacher?
From the Lord? I don't know if you got your feelings hurt. I hope you ain't.
But if you did, get over it.
That's pretty simple, ain't it? This young man's got brother and sister, parents, and wants to stay saved. This young man's got a brother and wants to see in church. This young man's got people who want to see in church. This man does. This boy right here, you got a mama, don't you, that you want to see in church. Hey, you got some family you want to see saved. Hey, we got some down here that needs to be saved. I'm going to tell you something, though. God help us when our priority gets away from them that's lost and on their way to hell and gets on our feelings. I don't know,
why the Lord said it that way, but he did, and if it'll help you, take it.
These young men stood when their lives was at stake. Let me and you stand
in the midst of persecution and stand straight for the Lord.
Through everything, every persecution and every affliction, God will deliver you through it all. Half of our problems don't amount to nothing. The big scheme of it.
It comes right down to our pride half the time, Isaac.
Told me that he forgave me and now I can serve the Lord.
I love him. I love that man.
I do. He's what known him by name. He told me, he said, I forgive you, and he said, I want you to be able to serve the Lord. My prayer is that he'd get in a place where he can serve the Lord. And me forgiving him, which I have, it's between him and God. It's between me and God.
God help us if we can't forgive one another. We should be able to if there's a problem there.
But you know what he told me? To work out my own salvation with fear and trembling.
Here.
And I'm going to tell you what, if I get my life right, I'll come to you, mate, and I'll say, I'm wrong. And I forgive you for maybe something you've done, but I want you to forgive me for what I've done. You know what that is? That's a spirit of reconciliation. That's a spirit of meekness. When I say, Isaac, I've done you wrong, brother, and I will ask you to forgive me. We suffer so much.
Don't stand. When it gets hard, keep standing.
Even the valley is higher ground. Just keep standing.
You want to see deliverance? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got to walk out of the fire. Through that, Nebuchadnezzar seen Jesus. Through that, he acknowledged the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
We'll stand firm and go through this way, Connie. When we come out of this, this world's going to see our God and they can't deny it.
I love you, church. That's what the Lord gave us this morning.